This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820. Happy NFL Draft Day, everybody. The path to the draft for the fan is brought to you by Pluckers and Zero Res. What player or trade do you think the Cowboys will get going at number 24 today? 877-881-1053. A couple more quick notes for you. Washington is going to retire the jersey. No, they're going to retire the jersey of Daryl Green. They're not retiring as a franchise.
You thought they got a brand new owner, and he's like, we're done.
Yeah, we finished. We did as best as we could.
Toilets don't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really sold us a crappy stadium. And we can't figure this out.
That's and then, there.
In case you missed it, Michael Parsons' fifth-year option was picked up by the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Who wants to start on this? Do you think trade down?
Corey.
Do you think stay and who they're going to trade? I'm guessing Mike thinks we might take JT McCarthy as he just said a minute ago.
I don't know what his name is. He just has a stupid haircut, and he's the next Mac Jones. Way to lead a talented team to the national championship game.
And throw like 11.
I can't hear. Did they win
11
or lose?
What?
They
yes,
won, right?
They did.
Michigan
yeah.
won. Yeah, because then their coach quit. He's like, I've done so many illegal things. I got to get out of here.
I actually don't think you're wrong about that. But
most coaches do
yeah,
that in
that's
college.
That's what Pete Carroll did at USC. He's like, I've done so many illegal things. They're about to come down pretty hard on me. How's that NFL thing going?
Jimbo did it. He was like, I have done so many illegal things. Like all the money I stole from this university.
Yeah. Whoa.
Fingers Magoo did it.
That
was
in
the
life.
NFL,
though.
Oh, yeah, he did it multiple times.
He was illegaling it up, too.
Kevin, here's my dream scenario, all right? My dream scenario is J.C. Latham falls to you, okay? If J.C. Latham falls to the Cowboys, I'm a happy, happy guy. Now, that is an offensive lineman that you're like, okay, I can plug him at tackle. I can feel like I'm good with guard there. He's just a consistent player. I really like what he does. There's other names that I would love, like other dream scenarios that I would love as well. But here's my prediction for this, if that's the game that we're playing right
yes.
now. They are going to trade down and still get Amarius Mims
Sweet.
From Georgia, who has, what, 8 games of college tape to go on?
Chris Mims' son?
No, I don't think it's Chris Mims' son. But I don't know, Mike. So I really, like, I
haven't. 7-footer UT?
Yeah, I didn't do the family.
I think it was a lottery pick of your Chicago Bulls, right?
Would you want I mean, he's very tall, but would you want a 7-foot offensive lineman?
Why not? I mean, can he block?
Yeah.
Like, that's, it doesn't
think of his arm length.
Yeah, dude. Cowboys love arm length, so that's the guy that I'm like, give me a Georgia Bulldog with eight games of tape to run off of. That's what I'll take.
Okay.
And I need an extra pick. I think the Cowboys need to be better at collecting picks along the way and not just seventh-round picks.
I do have a couple of trade
Don't
options.
Don't they have a zillion picks in 25 because they let all their free agents go and said we're out?
Yeah, we'll see how it all works
like,
out.
Don't they have, like, 12 picks next year?
They're expected to have 4 compensatory picks.
Yeah,
is that what we're looking at?
So
11?
11?
Heck yeah.
All right.
your draft coverage next year is going to be off the charts.
11 picks? Come on.
We'll be picking number one.
Mike's going to know exactly which guy for every single one of those.
The Cowboys have built together a foolproof thing where they know as long as there's not a major injury, they're 8 to 12 wins.
All right. Do these trade downs do anything for you then? If you want the Cowboys to pick up extra picks, they engage in a trade with the Houston Texans. They trade pick 24 for pick 42 and pick 59. So now you would have 3 second-round picks, but no first-round pick.
That's a lot of second-round picks.
It is.
And I could probably – I mean, this is a deep draft at a couple of different spots. I could hang with something like that. I don't know if Jerry loves it because he's not getting – maybe if he signs Zeke – so you sign Zeke.
God,
hold on, Kevin.
You
sign Zeke, and that's your splash for round one.
Come on,
so you
baby.
Can get all the headline, like all the conversation tomorrow is about that.
You're right, because he is going to say, we got a first-rounder. Do
we
you
got
remember
a first round
Zeke
running
was
back.
Pick number four?
Yeah, yes. I mean, he hasn't
and we're the
24th
best team.
So, yeah, I think that's the if that's the case, then I'm okay with that. Kevin.
All right, I have one other trade proposal for you. What if I traded – it's not going to sound good at first. What if I traded the Cowboys' first-round pick for a second and a third? But I make the trade with Carolina, so you get the first pick of the second round and the first pick of the third round.
You guys have no faith in Carolina, do you?
No.
Like getting Bryce Young.
Why would I'm serious here. Carolina doesn't have a first-round pick, right?
And they need it.
So they would trade more picks That's just right. to get into the first round?
That's right, because they got somebody they covet and love in the first round.
Once again. At least we're not the Carolina Panthers.
You know what? Every
See,
day,
Mike?
Every day
See?
I'm okay with that. I'm Kevin. I would probably be okay with that. Considering now that's a gamble though. Like that, I mean that is a real gamble. But like as Mike just said, they're not good. So
that is true. Now,
Bryce has been really keen in on, by the way, on Kansas City being a trade target, Kevin, because they are Rashee Rice's situation. Maybe there's a receiver available to them, and I don't know how prepared you are to throw out a scenario conversation there, but going and getting their pick, and I don't know exactly what you could pick up from them
Look,
from there on.
Ideally, it would be a little bit of an overpay, but sometimes that's how it happens in this situation. You could pick off Kansas City's second-round pick with that.
In a first swap?
Yeah, by going from 24 to 32.
I wouldn't hate that.
What I think is probably more likely, though, is you get a third and a fifth from Kansas City. And so how would you feel about that? Because there's been a lot of discussion for the Cowboys that after the first three rounds, they don't have another pick.
They don't have their fourth.
Exactly. So would adding another third be I realize all of these conversations, Corey, are contingent on depends on what the board looks like at the time. Like, I definitely understand. Like, if you really want Graham Barton and he's still on the board, then you're probably going to make that pick. But let's assume they still have some flexibility and some players that they like on the board. Would you trade down from 24 to 32 knowing you picked up a third and a fifth along the way?
Yeah, not having the fourth is a key factor. And also, Kevin, I think, when you're talking about this, the pie conversation's a big factor too. And the Micah and CeeDee Lamb thing means that you have to invest in draft picks. And cheaper draft picks. You don't want a bunch of top-tier first-rounders. So if that's the way the Cowboys are going to approach this at the time, at the moment, then stack me up some fifth-round picks. Stack me up some third-round guys so that I can turn that into something. Because I still have a lot of holes and a lot of places, too, that, like, are you completely happy with Jordan Lewis as your slot cornerback
right
now?
Right. I think I am because of maybe other needs on the team, but I get it. Like, if you got an opportunity to upgrade, you're probably going to want to take that opportunity to upgrade.
Or potentially future upgrade.
Yes, true. From the 903, I can't remember if I already said this or not, their dream scenario, trade down, pick up another third or fourth, and still get Graham Barton. So there's a variety of names that have come up. I was just going to run down a few mock drafts for you. Calvin Watkins has got the Dallas Cowboys taking Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon.
Was that today?
I think it was yesterday.
Okay, because 2 days ago he had somebody else. And so that's interesting that today he did say, he was like, I'm going to change this in a couple days.
Okay, and then Charles Davis also has the Cowboys taking Jackson Powers Johnson. So that name has come up, offensive line. You brought up this name a few minutes ago. USA Today has got the Cowboys taking Amarius Mims out of Georgia, also an offensive lineman. This is the one that I would really not like this pick at all. CBS Sports has the Cowboys taking Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas. I think that is an overdraft, and
you're going to get feed on that one. Overdraft fees. That's a joke.
Okay. I'm glad you explained that.
I'm with you 1,000%, Kevin.
I was not going to get that.
After the combine, I saw that name pop up immediately, and I think maybe you were out of town, and I kind of lost it, and Mike might may have been like, hey, you need to calm down, Corey.
Oh, goodness.
Because the dude didn't match up with anything that you need, anything that what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
All it is, hey, we're trying to get leverage on CeeDee Lamb, and that's a dumb thing right now. You have to build a team.
If you were going to get a wide receiver, if you were going to get a Texas wide receiver, why wouldn't you go AD Mitchell as opposed to Xavier
yes.
Worthy?
Yes. First of all,
speed.
I agree with you. I mean, that's
you're
great.
You're in a 4.2, man.
That's great.
What are you,
he's
Al Davis?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Reggie, look at the history of Jerry Jones.
They're not that different. That's a fair point, Corey, if that's what you're getting at. I'm not in on this. Somebody asked another trade scenario. Would you take 36 and 67 from Washington for pick number 24? Now, that actually is pretty fair, especially with the updated trade chart. That's about down the line. It depends, because I will tell you, theoretically, I think so, but we talked about these names. If Guyton fell from Oklahoma, or if Graham Barton was there from Duke, and it's like an offensive lineman that you, I don't know if covet's the right word, but you really, really like, then you say no. And so for things like Washington, you're probably waiting until a couple picks before or the pick before to really know if you'd be able to pull the trigger on that. But that would be a fair deal.
So you have, because I saw CBS Sports had my guy at the Cowboys pick. All right, Amarius Mims.
They did.
At 24.
Correct.
You, Kevin, I don't want to give this away too much, but there's supposed to be a video posted
yes.
of our predictions, and I believe I heard you say trade down. I said trade down and get Mims, because I'm trying to collect picks, hopefully. I don't know if that's going to work. Would you take Guyton at 24, or would you say, I'm going to get more out of this?
I would, but I also think Philly is in on him. And, you know, Philly picks two picks before you. That's not to say for sure that they would take him, because who the hell knows what the board will look like. But I could see Philly taking Guyton, and if that was one of the people that the Cowboys really wanted, then maybe they would be more inclined to trade back. But, yeah, if Guyton was there at 24, I think I would feel comfortable going that route.
What's your favorite aspect on him? Because I think he's, what, 6'7"? You were like, don't take a 7-foot
okay,
guy.
I know, and we talked about Mims is really tall as well. But the thing, and it's
long arms, yeah.
It's probably the body type that I'm thinking of, because somebody texted in, and I was like, that probably is what I was thinking. And they go, could you imagine Wemby as an offensive lineman? And, like, I think I realized they are built nothing alike. But I was just imagining, like,
I want Wemby as a receiver.
Yeah, but clearly Ellie De La Cruz is doing just fine, and we talked about O'Neal Cruz, just giant people for the positions that don't normally have the most giant people. I always wonder, like, in terms of height, I always wonder how those extra 2-3 inches kind of wear on. Well, you know what,
Reginald, you know what to do.
Shut up.
Just wanted to let you know. You know what to do.
I really hope that I bailed out before.
Just wear it out.
He didn't finish the sentence. He's good.
I don't know. We can work something out.
And then it's interesting because Mitchell from the 940, give me Mitchell out of Texas, CeeDee Lamb replacement. I would be stunned if they moved on from CeeDee Lamb. Like, stunned. That just doesn't fall in line with what the Cowboys have done historically, at all.
Dez has been working out, I hear.
Mike, stop it.
Bitch.
Stop it. Listen.
Zeke tonight.
No.
Dez listening. Tomorrow.
Golly.
Hey, and then Romo.
Do you think Witten's tired of coaching state championships already?
No, he's loving that. He got to coach his sons to a state championship.
Okay.
They say Romo's not putting in the work anymore behind the mic.
I'm telling you this. I realize.
Because he's focused on the field again, is that what you're saying? Okay.
This would be the dumbest thing ever. But could you honestly imagine all the attention the Cowboys would get if they announced that they were bringing back Zeke, Dez, and Jason Witten to play?
So
it would be
jerseys.
Preposterous
no,
for football reasons. But That would be so dumb.
That'd be awesome.
Would that be your favorite day of work, Mike?
Yes. Yeah.
I think your head might explode from sarcasm if that happens.
I'm waiting for Jerry to go all in, and you can't tell me there's no all in better move than Zeke, Dez, and Witten all back together. The championships that they brought us earlier in their prime, and then to have this time off, think about it. Their bodies have healed from all that NFL time they've had off.
This is such a stupid conversation. Although I think I might have changed my mind about Wemby from the 214. I mean, Wemby on the goal line as a wide receiver seems 100%.
Tackle eligible.
See, how about if you do the Walter Payton and yeah. you hand it off to him and you just say jump.
Reaches over yeah. and dunks the ball just on fall
He would forward, break buddy. In half. The moment an NFL player smoked him, like, you'd be like, where's his ribs? And they're like, they're inside his stomach right now.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.
How do you make pads for a 7'4" guy?
Very carefully. Coming up next, more stars, but also, why are playoff tickets seemingly more expensive in DFW than other places? Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
Marchessault gets to the red line. Backhands a pass. Empty net goal for Eichel. And the Vegas Golden Knights are going to sweep the first two games here in Dallas against the Stars in this best of seven.
There's a lot of cheers that you heard right there. As the Stars go down, they now trail in their series 2-0. Interesting Mavs note to go along with this. Tim Hardaway Jr. out for game 3 against the Clippers, and Daniel Gafford currently listed as questionable due to the back issues that obviously we saw him run into in game 2.
I think the Mavs will be fine without Hardaway, but I do like him as an option for Jason Kidd. I think Jason Kidd in game 1 was like, all right, let's see what you have. And
I
he's not like,
that.
I'm not going to let you miss 7 shots in a row. I just can't do that in this situation. I know the Mavs got blown out, but it's like, look, I'll let you play for 2 to 4 minutes, see if you make the 3 to 5 shots you take. If you're kind of 1 for 5 or 0 for 3, I got to take you out of the game because
right.
it's the one thing you can do, and I just can't live with you trying to get hot.
And you got to play some defense. And
yeah.
He wasn't.
And so Gafford does worry me. I don't want Hardaway to not be an option for the Mavs, but it sounds like maybe in these 2 home games he might not be an option for the Mavs.
True. All we have for now is game 3, but you might be right.
I'm worried about Gafford because I know how important he was to the second half success of this team, and I know he stunk in games 1 and game 2, but I don't want to give up on him because I've seen so many good quality things from him in so many different Mavs games against so many different Mavs opponents, and I just have this faith that he just had 2 really bad games to start the playoffs. It doesn't mean he's a bad player.
For the Stars, I'm just curious, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow. If they win on Saturday, does that, like, I hear your perception right now, and it's fair. They've lost all
right.
5 games to Vegas this year. If they win on Saturday, does that change your thought process at all?
I think they still lose the series, but they would have to win both.
Okay.
So, I'm yes,
okay.
it would
yeah,
give
yeah.
you the hope of we've,
I got
we've
you.
Taken care of 50% of what you have to do, and I know I'm going back way back in time. The Mavericks lost to the Houston Rockets at home when they had Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady. Then they went to Houston and won both games, won the series in 7. At this point, I would say that the Stars have to win both games in Vegas, or it's over. I just don't see them winning 3 in a row against Vegas. So, I hope my pessimism,
yep.
I threw out a
Good
T
enough.
In there, but hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully the Stars are way better than what we've seen in these 2 games, and I'll say this. I thought in a way you could look at it, obviously not the scoreboard, you could say, gosh, I thought the Stars might have outplayed the Knights last night. Not
Agreed.
By a lot, by a little,
yeah.
but it doesn't matter. At the end of every game they play, Vegas wins.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much better you play. There's one stat that matters in analytics, and it's the scoreboard.
You're right. Now, this stat comes up a lot that matters to fans. Playoff ticket prices. Now,
yeah.
we've talked a lot about this on the secondary market, and I just made a couple of notes about basketball, and this was as of last night. Secondary ticket market for NBA games. Home team, Boston, $106 for the cheapest, for the get-in price. Oklahoma City, $68. Orlando, $53. Philly, $78. Pacers, $49. Mavericks, $118. Only surpassed at least at the time, by the Lakers, who were at 146. And we see this at times with the Stars. We've talked about this in the past with other DFW teams. At least in the secondary market, why do you think it feels more expensive here than other places?
This would have never happened, Kevin, if Mark Cuban was still the owner. He loved to keep the prices low and be in the red every year.
But he can't control the secondary market. Theoretically.
So right now, Philadelphia, sports town, USA, we love it. We're passionate. $62 to go see the Knicks, and you have a lot of Knicks fans there, too. That's only a short train ride away.
And that's dropped overnight from 78. So just in the course of today, it's dropped $16 more.
I don't know. This was my question yesterday that I wanted to do this topic on. Why is it? Is it that we have more money than all these cities? Do we really have more money than most cities in the United States of America? Because I feel like L.A. has way more money, but yet it's way cheaper to go to the Clippers game. Now, I get the Lakers are their team, so it's a little bit more. That's the only team? Boston Celtics in the history of the Boston Celtics. Philadelphia 76ers. New York Knicks. How are we more expensive than these places?
Well, and because you look at Game 3, get-in price, $122, and somebody just texted in, I've got a training class in L.A. next week. Going to go to Game 5. Tickets are $80.
Yeah.
So even then, it's cheaper. Here's what I've always thought. I'm not saying that Dallas doesn't have a lot of money, because clearly there are pockets where they have all of the money. But playoff is an event. And the thing that Dallas folks love more than just about anything is being at an event. Right. And if you can say, hey, I was at this playoff game, then you get seen.
I'm asking a stupid but serious question. Is it intentional that the person that has the season tickets behind the Stars bench has to bring a big boobed person with him? Have you noticed that?
I don't know that to be the
case. Over the
last
6 years,
that girl doesn't care. I don't think she cares about the Stars. I'm just throwing it out. There's over a 50% chance she doesn't care about the Stars.
But we don't
know,
to be fair.
But she has to show 50% of her boob to get those tickets?
I don't know. I will look into it. I'm honestly not sure.
But to your thing of an event.
Yes.
It seems like a Dallas Stars regular season game. You're not seeing... And by the way, it's freezing a cold in there. You're not seeing
ice, Mike.
Big boob girls at regular season games on the first row cheering on the Stars. But man, those boobs come out for the playoffs. And you're just like, they're not fans. I can't imagine that they're fans of the Stars, or they've been this hardcore fan that's watched 60 of the 82 regular season games, and finally they get the best tickets, and they're like, you know what? I can't wait to cheer on the Stars, but the way to do it is to show all my boobs. And so, but you saw that in multiple places in the arena last night in premium seats. So to your point, I do feel like the money doesn't even take like a person who wants to cheer on the Stars. They just want to be at the event.
Okay, and I'm glad that you said that, because somebody sent this text in. I hear you. I do not agree with this from the 940, because we don't know when we'll be back in the playoffs, so we got to spend to see it. With some teams, maybe. But, like, the issues that you run into with DFW right now is the Cowboys have started to get more into the playoff groove. I'm not talking about success, just in terms of making the playoffs. The Stars were in the Western Conference Finals last year. They had the second-best record in the NHL this year. The Mavs have one of the best players in the NBA, and the Rangers are the defending world champions. It feels like now is a time where you could be like, I'm not saying we're all making the playoffs every year, but you have to have some confidence, right?
So let me ask this person. The Minnesota Timberwolves have been out of the first round last win.
Yeah, and their ticket prices are still low, right?
Anthony Edwards is who? $60 to go to a playoff game.
That
in
is
Minnesota.
Weird to
and
me.
And guess what? It's probably 12 degrees in Minnesota right now. So it's not like an out.
Even in April?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
It's miserable playing baseball in April and May up there.
So there aren't any big boob women up in Minnesota.
No,
I don't know. He said they were still showing
them. As long as it's under 60 degrees, that's when to bring them out, I guess, for the playoffs.
from the 940, Mavs games are almost a social scene at this point. And then from the 817, hey, remember Andy Galloway said in North Texas, the beautiful people want to get out there and be seen at these events. That's exactly where I fall on this. Is I think it's a happening, and I think that's where people go to the secondary market and the prices go up.
And it is smart if you're a season ticket holder, because those tickets behind the bench, the tickets that are the premium seats of the Mavs game, those are season ticket holders. So what they're doing is, and they have to have a lot of money. You do have to have a lot of money to spend approximately for, let's say, two tickets behind the Stars bench. I'm guesstimating the ticket price on the face value is about $300 a ticket. So you're paying $600 a game for 41 games. Math?
Sorry, say the math again. Because
we got
to check.
600 for 41.
600 times 41.
So 24,600.
So you're paying every year $25,000 to go to Dallas Stars game for two tickets, pretty much on the glass. How much are the big boobed? And she's not paying.
She might love hockey. I don't know.
Well, then where was she for the other games?
I don't know.
So that person who probably has a lot of disposable income goes to the season ticket holder market and goes, all right, these probably jack up to probably $500 face value for the first round.
Crazy.
So it's like, all right, $1,000. And then this person's like, you know what? I'm going to give you in Dallas. I guess this happens more. I'm going to give you $4,000 for the $1,000 tickets total. I will really pay and help you out for next year since it's going to cost you $25,000 for your season tickets. And it just, it ruins, and it is what it is. It's just weird that in our marketplace, it ruins it for like me with children that really want to go to the game. And they don't mind if they're in the upper deck cheering, but somehow in the upper deck where your boobs aren't going to be seen,
right, of course,
it still costs like $200 to go to these games.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where like the quote unquote real fans, you hear from them a lot because they're like, I would go. I'd be fine with sitting in the third deck. Like, I don't care. And I'll be loud the whole time. But even then, these tickets aren't easily accessible for me. Now, Mike, you will love this text in particular, and they sign their name, so I feel like I can say this. Big boobs attract big paychecks from the 49ers guy at the bar. And so and so I think he's I think he's with you. And then, all right, look, we're getting some pushback.
All right.
I will say one thing. Some people have said, hey, I travel a lot across the country, and we talk about this all the time. Like, truck drivers, people who work at auto plants. We have a huge listeners, a huge amount of listeners there, so thank you guys very much. The people who are traveling say, hey, Dallas does fairly well. But then somebody added
like
this.
Like, you mean financially we
yes,
have a lot more
financially
money.
We do well compared to a lot
of
other
CEOs
places.
CEOs and stuff.
I mean,
we are a tax-free state.
And businesses love this place because of it. From the 314. Kevin, you have to understand the sugar daddy scene in Dallas is off the chain. I am not disputing that. I was just not aware of that. So I'm not saying that you're wrong, Mike, that never happens. I just don't know one way or another.
For example, Sunday. This is game four for the Mavs.
Okay.
Philadelphia, $109. That's a pretty expensive ticket in the upper deck, and that's before taxes and fees. So just add $50 to all of these tickets after you go through Ticketmaster or whatever. All right. The Mavericks, $134. That's a $230 tip. Pacers, $42.
Wow.
Suns, $87.
Man, that Pacers one is wild.
No, I'm not. No, I get we're a much bigger city than Indianapolis.
Sure.
But it's just weird to me. You can go to, besides the Lakers, Boston, Philadelphia, New York might top us, especially as these playoffs go along.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it is weird. And then if you go to the NHL, I don't have it pulled up. And I bet.
Oh, I have numbers for that.
I bet Game 5 tickets are probably dropping tremendously right now.
And actually, Stars tickets last night were shockingly cheaper than you might have guessed. But they were still higher than Tampa was 80. Edmonton was 114. They were still higher than Edmonton. And you would think, like, Canada, obviously you have one of the best players in the league. You got to go see it. But they were way behind Boston.
All right. So here's my next question, Corey. If you are a big boobed woman,
I'm not.
And I want to know, is this what you want from this man? Is to take you to a Stars game? Mm. Like, I don't know. I mean, big lose on number two.
Look, there's daddy issues.
And
there's comfort.
And I'm just wondering,
security.
It doesn't seem like that looks like a loving, lasting relationship they could possibly be in. It seems like I need to find the biggest boobs that are going to be exposed the most.
Oh, my God, why are you still talking?
To be in round one of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to give you guys some time to ponder that. Coming up next.
Well, text in.
It's
877.
Yeah, what's the number?
881. And 105.3.
There you go.
Oh, off the top of my head.
That backfired in my face.
972.
No, okay, that is definitely wrong. No. All right, coming up next, it's baseball time in Texas. So let's talk with Jared Sandler right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Pluckers in Fort Worth. Off of 820, we're going to lead you into Rangers baseball. So right now, it's baseball time in Texas with Jared Sandler. Hey, Jared.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I know there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and we need to get to it, but you have a World Series ring. How about that?
Pretty cool, huh? And, yeah, I kind of unfathomable, but I feel compelled to just – express gratitude to the people who actually contributed to that experience, right? Like I
knew you would deflect.
I do mean this because this is not like, hey, these are talking points when you get asked about. Like I was talking with Emily Jones about this, and Emily's, you know, obviously been a part of this a long time, but and you guys know this, when you're around a team on a daily basis, you really get to see how the sausage is made and the work that goes into it, the commitment, the sacrifice. And it's not just about the Corey Seagers or Marcus Simeons and Nathan Eovaldis of the world. They, you know, they get a ton of credit, deservedly so. But, you know, I'm thinking about the Bobby Bandalos and the Adam Brenners and the Theo Hoopers and names you probably haven't heard of, people who work their tail off, you know, Jacob Newburn I shouldn't even name one because now I feel like I got to name all of them. But there's so many people who
just saying everybody else.
Yeah, and everybody else, and so many people who make it all possible. And Mike hopefully has an appreciation for this as a player. Like, you know, I'm not a player. I never was, and I don't contribute to anything that this team does to win or lose games. And I got to enjoy this incredible ride because of those people, and I am incredibly grateful for those people. And every time I look at that ring, I hope I never lose sight of that, because it was an incredible journey, and there were so many people who put their, you know, their careers, I don't want to say on the line, but, you know, their careers are kind of riding on their performance on a daily basis, and they had a great year, and we all benefited from it.
Jared Sandler, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Jared, I did want to add, will you let me, like the Stanley Cup, will you let me just have it for a day and then I'll get it back to you? Can we rock that?
Yeah, we can figure something out. I will gladly show it if you'd like to see it. But
he just said right there.
Sandler, I'm going to brag a little bit. I got to see CJ's, and I know yours is the same ring.
Yeah.
Did you ever figure how to get it to stop spinning? Because CJ couldn't figure that out.
No, I think you got to. I think you got to take the batteries out of the case. Otherwise, it's supposed to have the light and the rotation in perpetuity, and then you just replace some AA batteries whenever it runs out. But I don't know how to. I don't know how to have it on but not spinning.
AA batteries.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
In a ring?
Like, no, yeah. No, the box. The box is pretty cool, too.
The box is almost as cool as the ring.
That's cool. That's awesome. Good job, right. Jacob and Beverly Hills. Jason and Beverly Hills. Yeah.
So how's Max of Arlington, Texas doing in Round Rock? Your report?
Yeah, he's back. He's back here. We spoke to him today. I actually got to talk to him about some of his relegation comments. And, you know, the great thing about Max is if he's got an opinion, he's got an opinion. And you know, there's nothing half tushed about anything he does, but yeah, he felt good. You know, I think he's on track to make another appearance here in a few days for I believe it's going to be with AA Frisco, and so I think everything's moving forward. I know everyone's inclination, understandably so, is to look at the box score, and we want to see three perfect innings with nine strikeouts. But, I mean, you guys know. You guys have been through this enough. When a guy's making a rehab appearance, the box score doesn't always really tell the story.
Yeah.
Especially, this is kind of like the equivalent of his first or second spring training start. And so it's just the fact that he was able to get to 52 pitches, come out healthy, and be ready to go for his next outing is, I think, the big check of the box.
Jared, I know that we'll talk during games. I will say, about after the fourth inning yesterday, I was getting concerned overall about the offense. And then they broke out the back-to-back home runs, and they were able to get five runs on the board. But right now the offense is just a hair above average in Major League Baseball. Do you think it's going to stay that way until Josh Jung gets healthy?
That's a good question. I mean, so I think Josh Jung aside, would we still be having that conversation about the offense if White Langford was performing not up to Mike Bassick's expectations, but like half of that?
I picked him today. He's going to do it.
Yep, you did. And what if Corey Seager, who is clearly playing like a guy who missed all of spring training, is battling through stuff, but what if his performance was 90% or 80% of what it was last year? I think we have a different opinion of the lineup. And that's not to say that Josh Jung isn't going to make this lineup better. And he will undoubtedly help this group against left-handed pitching and help make in-game decisions maybe tougher for managers when they've got lefties available in the bullpen based on where you are in the lineup and where Josh is. But against righties, again, not that Josh can't contribute. He absolutely can. He does. But I think a lot of it has more to do with maybe the way that some other guys have not performed up to expectation here of the first few weeks than just Josh's absence, if that makes sense.
Makes it look a little flat.
Now, speaking of Corey Seager, obviously not playing today with the...
He is. He's batting second, right?
Yeah, he's unless they made a change, he is DHing today.
Oh, Ruben,
wow.
Ruben
really
lied to me.
Us up on that one.
Okay,
well, all the great things Ruben's done.
I was going to ask you think he'll be back tomorrow, but
I hope
will
so.
Ruben be back tomorrow?
I guess that question is now irrelevant, so I'm going to shift to this. How good has this bullpen looked? I know while we were talking about the offense, how good has the bullpen done? Maybe the whole season, but especially these last like four or five games.
Yeah, they have been really good. And I'll tell you this, there was one bad outing against Houston. The bullpen gave up seven earned runs. I think over like three innings or something. You take that out, and the bullpen ERA this year is around a 3.6. And that's not shut down, you got no chance if you're losing after five innings type of feel to the bullpen. But, that's a good bullpen, and that certainly leaps and bounds above where this group was last year. Now, we're a month into the season, so still plenty of time.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the individuals, you got to love what you've gotten from Kirby Yates and David Robertson. I think Jose Leclerc, since being moved into a setup role, not a closer's role, has been really good. And then, how about Jose Urania and what he's done? And, gosh, I'm excited every time Cole Wynn takes the mound to see if maybe the Rangers have tapped into something with Cole Wynn.
Or what about Jonathan Hernandez yesterday?
Jonathan Hernandez's slider yesterday looked about as good as I've seen it. That was a really good pitch. And Jacob Latz, one bad outing. Gave up the grand slam to Darnell, one bad outing, but he's been really good other than that. So it's a bullpen that's definitely deeper. And it's a bullpen that should hopefully give people optimism that it can be way better than what this group was last year.
Jared, I don't know. We kind of discussed it a little bit, and we were having some fun with it before the game. I don't know if you got any more reaction from Adolis on the Julio Rodriguez missed home run ball. Was he mad about it? Did you happen to get any comment on that?
Yeah, I did. I didn't get to see Adolis before the game. Those two, and I don't know if they did this past offseason, but I know that the previous two offseasons they've worked out together, so they're good buds. And so my guess is it was more like the way you would get fake angry at a friend or give them grief. So I don't think there's any like genuine animosity, but. Yeah, I think Adolis was like, come on, dude, like, let me know. Like, what's the deal here? And I was thinking, that's a great strategy. If there's any uncertainty as an outfielder, I'm always going to act like, I might have caught it, I might not have. Because what if Adolis, departs the base paths? There's no downside to doing what Julio Rodriguez did. And shout out to the six shooters. They were jumping up and down from their dancing perch out at center field. They were the only people in the ballpark who I think knew that was a home run.
What do you think if Julio would have then fake thrown in a ball? And from your part, I know that it was Eric Nadell's call, but you might not really see him throwing the ball. You just might look at him reaching the glove and make the motion, and from 500 feet away, you might go, well, and he caught the ball.
No, for sure. I mean, Eric and Dave Raymond, if you listen to their calls, they both thought he caught it. And to the naked eye, it looked like he did. Based on the initial reaction, it looked like he did. You didn't see a ball bounce up. Usually, if they don't catch it, you see the ball hit the ground, the cement beyond the fence, and then bounce back up. But I think, you know, and sometimes as a broadcaster, if you miss that, you're kind of kicking yourself like, gosh, I should have waited a split second. But I think that both Eric and Dave saying that he caught it really encapsulated what the feeling was like in the ballpark, because 98% of the people in here thought that he caught it. And they captured the surprise of Julio not catching it, especially because it went off his glove. But, yeah, outfielders, I think sometimes they play tricks and they don't realize that there's some broadcasters up here that are just trying to do their job and work hard.
Carter on pace for 30 home runs.
Colton Ingram picked up by the Rangers, and I think it was Evan Grant I saw maybe ask about this. Is that going to be a wrap for Brock Burke, or how do you think this is going to play out?
Yeah, I think so. So Colton Ingram, obviously brief big league experience. He's a guy who gets a lot of swings and misses, and, you know, he does walk guys. That's, you know, that's been a bugaboo for him, but he's been really good against lefties. And, you know, the Rangers, I think, would love to have another option in the bullpen now that Kirby Yates is closing, and Mike did such a great job pointing out in spring training how great he is against lefties. But now that he's your closer, you want another option, you know, potentially to face lefties in the middle innings. And maybe that's Colton Ingram, right? You know, I don't know when or if he'll be up. He's obviously got to earn it, but he does provide that as a possible option to join Jacob Latz as a lefty in the bullpen who can get lefties out.
Thank you very much, as always, Jared. We appreciate your insight.
You got it, fellas.
There you go. Jared Sandler right here on the Fan. Remember, tonight, Pluckers, you can find Mike in Dallas. Corey will be in Addison. I will be in Allen getting you ready for the NFL draft. Coming up next, though, we got Rangers, Mariners. First pitch, 1:35. Pre-game starts at 1 o'clock right here on 105 through the Fan.
I want my picks back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.